This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Tuesday, May 24, 2016. Coming up this hour.
Markets diverge. Asian stocks close lower as U.S. equity futures and European markets leg higher.
Federal Reserve policymakers continue to weigh in on a June rate increase, mostly striking a hawkish tone.
The fallout surrounding the embattled Malaysian state fund 1MDB widens as Singapore shuts down Swiss bank BSI.
President Obama is making a push for human rights during his visit to Vietnam. Plus, long airport security lines have prompted some changes at the TSA. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets won in Washington to move to within a half game at first. Toronto Raptors again beat Cleveland inside their playoff series. NHL San Jose won at St. Louis to grab the series lead.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
6 o'clock on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word, is brought to you by BNY Mellon. Proudly introducing Asset Strategy View, a game changer for asset managers and asset owners. Visit BNYMellon.com to learn about Asset Strategy View.
And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day. Futures pointed to a higher open on Wall Street this morning. The S&P futures up 7 points. That's a rise of 0.3%. Dow futures up 52 points. That's up 0.3. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 14 points higher, also up 0.3%. Currencies this morning, a little weaker. Euro 111.83 right now. The yen at 109.63. That's down 0.4%. A sterling 145.87. That's higher, up 0.7%. And we have the FTSE in London up 0.7%. The CAC in Paris up 1.4%. And the German DAX is up 0.8%. NYMEX crude this morning down 14 cents a barrel at $47.94. Spot gold down $6.33 an ounce at $1,242.79. Yield on the 2-year note yields 0.9%. The 10-year yield 1.84%.
Various Fed policymakers have waded into the debates over a rate hike ahead of the much-watched June meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. St. Louis Fed President and FOMC voting member James Bullard, speaking at the official Monetary and Financial Institution Forum in Beijing, said that strong data is bolstering the case for a rate increase.
U.S. labor markets look very strong, and so this is a definite factor in favor of the FOMC's view that you would have a gradual normalization of the U.S. interest rates.
Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker, speaking yesterday, went so far as to predict that monetary policy will soon be overly accommodative.
That will set in motion the possibility of another risk, which is accelerating inflation and the need for aggressive policy actions.
San Francisco Fed President John Williams, speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations, struck a slightly more cautious tone.
Our basic strategy is the right one, and that's, slowly or gradually removing accommodation, meaning raising interest rates over the next few years.
While the Fed rhetoric takes a hawkish turn, markets have yet to fully sign on. The probability of a June rate hike, according to the Fed funds market futures market, is hovering near 30%.
Deutsche Bank's credit rating has been cut by Moody's Investors Service. Moody's says the German lender faces mounting challenges in carrying out its turnaround. The chief executive officer, John Cryan, laid out his strategy to overhaul Deutsche Bank in October. Well, since then, his plan has run into an industry-wide slump in trading and investment banking, along with declining interest rates in Europe and Asia.
UniCredit's chief executive officer, Federico Ghisoni, may resign as soon as today. A person familiar with the matter says the bank's board is meeting in Milan, Italy, and may authorize its nomination committee to begin the search for a new CEO. UniCredit remains among Europe's least capitalized lenders. Its shares have declined 76% since Ghisoni took over in September 2010, including a 41% drop this year.
Well, here in the U.S., Tudor Investment Corporation trimming some fees for clients in its biggest fund amid losses this year. We get details in this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Tudor is the $11.6 billion hedge fund that charges among the highest fees in the industry. It is run by billionaire Paul Tudor Jones, and it is also one of the oldest hedge funds. It says it will reduce fees for a share class that contains most of the main fund's money to 2.25% of assets and 25% of profits. That's according to a letter sent to clients and obtained by Bloomberg. The fees had been 2.75% and 27%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. To Asia now, where markets closed lower in trading today. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Juliet Sully in our Hong Kong Bureau.
Investors across Asia appear to be awaiting the Fed's next move too. The regional benchmark index snapped a two-day winning streak to sink to a seven-week low Tuesday, all 10 industry groups finishing in the red. Export stocks weighed in Japan with the yen strengthening, while Shanghai stocks closed in the red for the first time in 3 days. This was amid slumping turnover. We did see the yuan, though, gain slightly, Australia's dollar, though, falling. This after RBA outgoing Governor Glenn Stevens defended Australia's inflation target. The Kiwi and Malaysian ringgit weakened too. This is amid the retreat in crude oil prices we saw during the Asian session. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Juliet. Singapore is ordering Swiss financial services firm BSI to shut its unit in the city-state as Swiss authorities begin criminal proceedings against the bank. The firm's CEO has resigned. It says it's fully cooperating with investigators. This is the biggest fallout yet from probes related to troubled Malaysian state fund 1MDB, which is under investigation in multiple countries for money laundering and embezzlement.
Apple has run into a roadblock to boosting its presence in India, according to people familiar with the matter. Regulators decided Apple must comply with local sourcing rules to sell products in India through its own stores. That means Apple would have to buy 30% of its components locally.
Sony today forecast annual profit that fell short of estimates. The company predicts net income will decline 46% to $732 million. Compare that to a projected $1.7 billion. Sony was hurt by costs to repair after an earthquake, a damaged chip factory, and slowing demand for smartphone image sensors. And at the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures 6 points higher. That's up 0.3%. Once again, the Dow futures are up 47. The Nasdaq E-minis are 14 points higher. And you're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, John. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. In this hour, the first word is brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. Breaking developments in the Egypt air crash. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. A senior Egyptian forensics official says the preliminary indication based on examination of recovered body parts is that an explosion ripped apart Egypt Air Flight 804. The official is part of the Egyptian investigative team and has personally examined the remains. He spoke on the condition of anonymity. He says all 80 pieces brought to Cairo so far are small and, quote, there isn't even a whole body part. The head of security operations at the Transportation Security Administration has been replaced. That is according to the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Kelly Hogan's ouster comes amid major problems with the TSA, including long security lines at airports causing people to miss their flights. President Obama says he's not singling out Vietnam when he talks about human rights, but he says nations are more successful when universal rights are upheld. President Obama, addressing the Vietnamese people during his three-day visit to the country, also praised the new partnership between the U.S. and Vietnam as an example of post-war reconciliation.
At a time when many conflicts seem intractable, seem as if they will never end, we have shown that hearts can change and that a different future is possible when we refuse to be prisoners of the past.
Yesterday, the president lifted a decades-old ban on arms sales to Vietnam. Hillary Clinton has declined to debate Democratic rival Bernie Sanders ahead of the June 7th primary in California. Sanders says, "I hope Secretary Clinton reconsiders her unfortunate decision to back away from her commitment to debate." Sanders, at a rally in Santa Monica, California, also said voters can't trust Clinton.
"The American people have serious doubts about somebody who takes millions from Wall Street and then says she will stand up to Wall Street."
Meanwhile, Clinton was in Detroit yesterday. She spoke to supporters at the Service Employees International Union Convention.
"We are coming to the end of the Democratic primaries. I applaud Senator Sanders and his supporters for challenging us. We are going to get unaccountable money out of politics. We are going to take on the crisis of income inequality.
Global News 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Thank you so much, Michael. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update and John Stashower. Good morning to you.
All right, Bob. Mets have been a little streaky this season. The poor start, but then the 8-game winning streak. Then they lost twice at home to Washington last week by a combined 16-2 and had dropped 6 of 7 overall. They had fallen to third place, but since then, 4 straight wins. Last night in D.C., 7-1. Mets hit 3 home runs, including a 3-run shot by David Wright.
Yes, we hit 3 home runs, but I thought that our at-bats and our, that kind of next man up, mantra where you let the next guy do the damage, don't try to do too much, just find a way to get on base, and I thought that was much better today.
You had assessments and Neil Walker went back-to-back. Bartolo Colon, 7 strong innings, and the Mets with another win tonight. They'll be back in first place. Yankees have gone from last place up to third, and they can get to 500 with a win tonight over Toronto. Surprise in the NBA, even though Toronto had only one fewer regular season victory, most felt Cleveland would cruise past the Raptors, and the Cavs won the first two games easily, but Toronto won again last night.
Now down to 8. You hear the crowd. Lowry toward the right wing on the switch. He's got Smith. 3 seconds. Into the lane at the rim. Kyle Lowry, like a dart, just zip through traffic and finish strong. He's got 35 points.
That's Raptors radio. In addition to Lowry's 35, DeMar DeRozan with 32, and the series is 2-2 going back to Cleveland. West Finals 2-1 Oklahoma City. Golden State will have Draymond Green tonight. No suspension for his kick to Steven Adams. Hockey, San Jose won 6-3 at St. Louis for a 3-2 series lead. The Sharks now 1 win from a first-ever trip to the Stanley Cup Final. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
Thanks, John. It is now 6:11 on Wall Street, and stay with us as we talk about Brazil's deepening political crisis with Bloomberg's James Crombie. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points, 0.25%. And the sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. The spring sales event is happening now. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker. S&P futures right now 5 points higher. That's up 0.3%. The Dow futures up 43. The NASDAQ futures 13 points higher. The stock index futures rising. And before new home sales data a little later this morning, they may show an improving economy. Investors are gauging the prospects for a Federal Reserve rate increase as early as next month. Well, this morning we spoke with Thimos Theotokos, a UBS co-head of FX and rate strategy. He says oil and a strong U.S. dollar are weighing on markets more than the impending rate hike from the Federal Reserve.
The dollar and, very, very importantly, credit markets and oil deliver a level of tightening to the economy that is a lot bigger. In our estimates, almost as much as 140 basis points of an equivalent tightening via financial markets.
After a rebound as much as 15% from a 22-month low in February, the S&P 500 has churned in a range of less than 50 points in May. The rally ran out of steam in late April after the index came within 1.4% of a record just over a year ago. And we update the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get an update on news from around the world. And we say good morning to Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. And we have developing news. A senior Egyptian forensics official says it looks like an explosion ripped apart Egypt Air Flight 804. The official, who is part of the Egyptian examination team, says the preliminary indication is based on examination of recovered body parts. The official, who has personally examined the remains in Cairo, did not want to be identified. He says all 80 pieces so far are small, and that, and this is a quote now, there isn't even a whole body part like an arm or a head. President Obama says upholding human rights is not a threat to government. In a speech in Hanoi today, he pressed Vietnam to allow greater freedoms for its citizens, calling it the foundation of progress. South Korea says more restaurant workers from North Korea have escaped their state-run workplaces overseas and are headed to Seoul. In sports, Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals. The A's and Giants were also winners. More on these and other stories at the bottom of the hour.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And Bloomberg Brief segment brought to you by CIT, from transportation to healthcare to manufacturing. CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. Well, you almost can't tell the players without a scorecard as the government crisis in Brazil deepens. James Crombie is watching us for us. He writes for the Bloomberg Brief on Latin America. And you almost wonder who's going to fall next, James.
That's right, Bob. It's all about the politics for the world's seventh biggest economy. As you know, we had a new president in Brazil just over a week ago, and his right-hand man has been forced to step down over corruption allegations. Just last night, Budget Minister Romero Juca, who was supposed to be a pillar of the new economic team tasked with shoring up the fiscal accounts, stepped down after allegations made earlier in the day that he wanted to obstruct the sweeping corruption probe known as Car Wash.
So is this a case of he who cast the first stone here, or is there really this deep of a corruption in the Brazilian government?
Well, we knew that it ran very, very deep, and we knew that the acting president, Michel Temer, who took over from Dilma Rousseff when she stepped down, when she was forced out, that he was going to be probably pulled into this. So it's not hugely surprising, but probably the speed of it is, and also the fact that this tape surfaced of Juca speaking about this. You can say what you like about Brazil, but they're great at taping politicians and exposing corruption. So that's possibly a good thing in the long run.
So what is this doing to the Brazilian government's ability to conduct business?
Well, it doesn't instill a lot of confidence in the team. Who else has tapes? Who else is involved? The car wash probe really has a long way to run. And because the markets got so euphoric about the end of Dilma Rousseff, obviously they sold off pretty hard yesterday. The currency is down around 2%. The 10-year yield is back up near 5.5% after it fell close to 5%. And that compares to 7.5% at the start of the year. The stocks hit a six-week low. So these tapes are really costing Brazil a lot.
So let me press you on this question here. Is the Brazilian government paralyzed at this point?
I think that's a bit strong. I mean, they have Meirelles, the finance minister, who is seen as very strong. The fact that Temer moved quickly to push Juca out, I mean, it was uncertain whether Juca would stay or go, but he left last night. So that was pretty swift action, and that's what the market wanted. So that, gives you some sense that if there are wrongdoers, then the acting president will deal with them.
Is there any sense of some stability on the horizon?
I think that's what the investors are predicting. I mean, there's a sense that, growth might return. I mean, but unfortunately, what's going to happen next, probably today, is that we'll hear about the measures to shore up the budget. But, the primary budget deficit could reach 170 billion reais. That's probably the worst result ever in Brazil's history. And Meirelles came in and pretty much said that these guys before us did a lot worse job than we thought. Things are in really bad shape. Part of that is managing expectations. He's managing people down because they were looking, so high in terms of their expectations. It looks like, they're going to present something that the markets may not like, but they may over-deliver.
I'm looking at the headline on your Bloomberg Brief from May 18th, 2016. That was, 6 days ago, I guess. And the headline is that the new leaders were boosting the government's street credibility. What about credibility in the Brazilian government now?
That's right. It's all been undermined severely. They have a big credibility problem, and we've known that for a while.
And will not only the people of Brazil, but the businesses and the investors accept this?
Up until Juca stood down last night, I would say much more strongly yes, but it's a bit more uncertain now, and it's very hard. You've been bitten so many times that you're much more shy about coming back into Brazil.
Well, stay with us, as they say. Stay tuned. James Crombie from Bloomberg Brief, and you can read his analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletters. Sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com, or for terminal customers, use the function Brief Go. And let's check the markets for you now. S&P E-mini futures up 6 points. That is 0.3%. Dow E-minis higher by 44 points. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 14 points. Treasury prices are unchanged at this hour. The yield of the 10-year at 1.83%. West Texas Intermediate crude down 0.3% to $47.94 a barrel. And COMEX gold prices are down 0.2% to $12.42.90. And Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by SS&C. More experience, superior technology, independence, and expertise. That's how SS&C drives the future of fund administration. SS&C, they are the future of fund administration.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, SiriusXM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
Yeah, good morning, 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Singapore is ordering Swiss financial services firm BSI to shut its units in the city-state as Swiss authorities begin criminal proceedings against the bank. This is the biggest fallout yet from probes related to troubled Malaysian state fund 1MDB, which is under investigation in multiple countries for money laundering and embezzlement.
Deutsche Bank's credit rating has been cut by Moody's Investor Service. Moody's says the German lender faces mounting challenges in carrying out its turnaround.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Commerce Department reports on sales of new single-family homes. Economists say sales probably rose 2.2% in April to 522,000 at an annual rate. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word desk.
It's been a seesaw. The government's prior report showed new home sales dropped in March for the third month in a row, falling 1.5% to 511,000 at an annual rate. Sales in the West were the weakest since 2014. Industry data last week showed sales of previously owned homes rose in April to a three-month high, pointing to more steady growth in the months ahead. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
And Tudor Investment, one of the oldest and most expensive hedge funds, is now trimming fees as the finance industry's highest-paid money managers face a growing backlash over their lackluster performance. The $11.6 billion firm will reduce fees for a share class that contains most of its biggest fund's money to 2.2% of assets and 25% of profits. That's starting July 1st.
And the Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at CBOE.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX was down 4% yesterday to close at 1582. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are down 1% now to 1565. And that's this morning's Volatility Report.
And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have futures higher. S&P futures up 6 points. That's a rise of 0.3% this morning. The Dow futures, they're up 42 points, up 0.2%. The NASDAQ E-mini futures, 14 points higher. That's up 0.3%. The euro right now, 111.80. That's down about 0.4% against the dollar. The yen at 109.58. Sterling, 145.97. And the FTSE in London, up 37. The CAC in Paris, up 1.3%. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, John. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. And this news update is brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information. News that it was an explosion that brought down that Egypt Air flight. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the very latest now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. A senior Egyptian forensic official says, based on preliminary information, it looks like an explosion brought down Egypt Air Flight 804.
The official who is part of the Egyptian investigative team says the indications are based on examination of recovered body parts. The official has personally examined the remains. The official who spoke on the condition of anonymity says all 80 pieces brought to Cairo so far are small, and that, and this is a quote now, there isn't even a whole body part like an arm or a head. The Airbus A320 was flying from Paris to Cairo with 66 people on board when it crashed into the Mediterranean. The head of security operations at the Transportation Security Administration has been replaced. That is the word from the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Kelly Hogan's ouster comes amid major problems with TSA, including long security lines at airports. The Homeland Security Inspector General previously revealed that agency employees failed to find dangerous items in more than 95% of covert tests at multiple U.S. airports. President Obama is making a push for human rights during his visit to Vietnam.
At a time when many conflicts seem intractable, seem as if they will never end, we have shown that hearts can change and that a different future is possible when we refuse to be prisoners of the past.
In an address in Hanoi, Vietnam today, the president said the country has nothing to fear from upholding freedom of speech, a free press, and to associate and demonstrate, which he says already are written into the country's constitution. Hillary Clinton has declined to debate Democratic rival Bernie Sanders ahead of the June 7th primary in California. Sanders responded at a rally in Santa Monica.
The American people have serious doubts about somebody who takes millions from Wall Street and then says she will stand up to Wall Street.
By the way, Washington State holds its Republican presidential primary today. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Thanks very much, Michael. That brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street. Time now for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Solid pitching, three home runs, led to an easy win for the Mets. 7-1 at Washington. David Wright, a three-run shot and a five-run third inning. Yoenis Cespedes and Neil Walker went back-to-back in the fifth. Major League leading 15th of the year for Cespedes, 11th for Walker. Bartolo Colon, seven strong innings, as Terry Collins expected.
I don't remember seeing Bartolo have two bad starts in a row, which he had. That is so anti-him, it's amazing.
See what happens tonight. Matt Harvey, 3-6, a 5.77 ERA. Last week against the Nationals, knocked out in the third inning, having allowed nine runs. And Harvey will oppose Steven Strasburg, who's 7-0. Winner tonight will be in first place. NBA playoffs, Toronto again beat Cleveland 105-99 as the Raptors' backcourt of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan combined for 67 points in the East Finals, now tied at 2. Tonight's game 4 in the West, Draymond Green's kick to Steven Adams resulted in a fine but no suspension. Oklahoma City's up 2-1. But Golden State has not lost two games in a row all year. NHL's West Final, San Jose at St. Louis, tied going to the third period. Joe Pavelski scored 16 seconds in. Sharks added two in the final minute. They won 6-3, so they go home up 3-2 in the series. The Jets start off-season workouts today. They still don't know who their quarterback this season will be, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, speaking at a golf outing, made it clear he has no plans to retire, and he wants to be back with the Jets, with the two sides still far apart on a salary. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
Thanks, John. And the Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Bush Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency from America's premier automotive dealership. Define the way you drive at BenzelBush.com. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
Donald Trump says he'll run the country the way he runs his business, which sounds more like a threat than a boast. At least when it comes to climate change, he ought to keep his word. Trump has long aligned himself with climate change deniers, calling the issue a hoax and worse. But in Ireland, Trump International Golf Links is asked to build a seawall to protect a waterfront resort against global warming and its effects. So which is it? A politician talking out of both sides of his mouth hardly qualifies as news, but Trump's recognition of the threat climate change poses to his business is noteworthy because it mirrors a growing consensus within the private sector. The World Bank says that by 2050, natural disasters related to climate change will threaten $1.6 trillion in economic assets. Over the past several years, business leaders have increasingly started to assess their exposure to these risks. No executive executive or board of directors can afford to ignore potential catastrophe. Whatever their political views, preparing for climate change is simply smart business. Trump recognizes that in Ireland. It would be nice if he'd acknowledge it in America, too. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. There's a new person at the helm of a bipartisan panel that looks at the effectiveness of federal programs. Nancy Lyons has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Catherine Abraham will head the commission that organizes data and determines which government programs work.
She is an ex-member of the Council of Economic Advisers, the cache of economists that President Obama keeps on hand. And she's also an ex-commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Bloomberg BNA's Jonathan Nicholson says, consider this commission sort of like the money ball for government.
If you have a more dispassionate look at data, you can then figure out what does work and what doesn't work.
He says these data geeks and confidentiality experts will look at the numbers and determine
whether this stuff can be warehoused in one place, whether that's the best organization thing, and how you can do this without worrying about putting people's privacy at risk.
The commission has 15 months to issue a report. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman is sounding a positive note about the future of his bank. Speaking to Bloomberg Television in Beijing, where the firm is hosting its China summit, Gorman said that while returns have been modest, he's not troubled by it.
Maybe I was on my own on this, but I felt pretty good about the first quarter because this was a very challenging environment. And we produced a 6% ROE in a good environment. Obviously, there's a lot of upside to that. So stay tuned.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman speaking to Bloomberg Television in Beijing. Earlier this month, Gorman reiterated his goal to boost return on equity to at least 9% by next year. S&P E-mini futures up 8 points right now, better than a third of a percent. Treasury prices are lower, the yield on the 10-year up to 1.83%. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, the Bloomberg Green Report, brought to you by Wonder Capital, the leading solar investment platform that allows you to invest in large-scale solar projects while earning up to an 11% return. Learn more at wondercapital.com. That's Wonder with a U.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker. As we check futures this morning ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures up 7 now. That's up 0.4%. The Dow futures up 53, up 0.3%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 17 points higher. That's up 0.4% this morning. The euro 111.80, down about 0.4% against the dollar. The yen at 109.63. That is some weakening there, down about 0.4%. And British pound sterling 146.14. That's up about 0.9%. In the U.S., the 2-year note yield at 0.90. The 10-year yield, 1.84%. We have NYMEX crude this morning lower. It's down 17 cents a barrel at $47.91. And COMEX gold down about 0.8, down $10.50 an ounce at $12.41. The dollar, of course, rallying and crude oil falling with gold. This all because of speculation mounting that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates as early as next month. The U.S. currency touching its strongest level in 8 weeks against the euro. Data also today in the U.S. forecast to show sales of new homes climbing for the first time this year in April. A surge in investment propelled German economic growth to its fastest pace in 2 years in the first quarter, and also French business confidence improved in May. The CAC in Paris was up by 1.5%. In Germany, the DAX up about 1%. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get a check of news from around the world now. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. An Egyptian forensic official says human remains retrieved from the crash site of Egypt Air Flight 804 point to an explosion on board. The Airbus A320 was flying from Paris to Cairo when it crashed into the Mediterranean last week. President Obama made a pitch for improved human rights today during a speech in Vietnam. He says that would improve the communist country's economy, the stability, and the regional power. Some muscle cars in the U.S. were weak in crash tests. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says crash tests on the 2016 Ford Mustang earned the highest rating on four of the five tests. The Dodge Challenger was the worst out of the Mustang and Chevy Camaro trio. In sports, Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals, the A's and Giants also winners. More on these and other stories within the hour. Bob?
Michael Barr, thanks very much. And let's check in now with our bureau in the nation's capital, where some of the top stories out of our D.C. bureau today include the House Judiciary Committee holding a hearing where Republican leaders say they intend to examine allegations of misconduct against IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. Koskinen, the head of the tax agency, doesn't plan to appear himself. A Senate appropriations panel will start hammering out its fiscal year 2017 defense spending bill. And as the state of Washington holds its Republican presidential primary today, we're taking a look on the Bloomberg at a split over divergent agendas among labor unions and the division that's created in the presidential race. We're joined on the line now by Bloomberg's Tim Jones. And Tim, what is this all about?
Well, labor has been divided before in many, many elections, and labor is not a monolithic voting bloc. But what you have is trade unions who are extremely sensitive to the free trade deals that the United States has struck with other nations. And then you have service employee teachers who aren't as sensitive to trade matters. For the first time in modern history, you have a Republican candidate who is speaking out very forcefully, Donald Trump, against free trade, and that's created this dynamic of union workers who mostly vote Democratic possibly being attracted to Donald Trump's candidacy. So it is a potential undermining of union support for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, let me read the beginning of three paragraphs in your story. One of them quotes a United Steelworkers official as saying, a lot of people are just fed up with establishment politics. Another paragraph begins, Trump is a wild card. And then another paragraph begins, this is a time when a Donald Trump can emerge, quoting a political expert. That sounds like a very good definition of the whole Trump campaign.
Well, it is. And he's exploiting a lot of frustration that has been building for decades in the U.S. and specifically with regard to trade deals since NAFTA went into effect in 1994, those were ushered in with promises that this is going to be good for the economy, that it's going to be a good job creator and will help everyday consumers. And what we have seen, and the allegation is from labor unions, that those deals are largely responsible for the loss of hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs.
And very quickly, are these union people really upset with Hillary Clinton or what?
Well, I think some of them are. Now, this is primary season, and people get easily upset. And the closer you get to the general election, the expectation is that they will return home and vote for the Democratic nominee. Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill, pushed NAFTA through. She has been supportive of NAFTA and other trade deals. So, yeah, there is discomfort and unhappiness with where she has been on the pact.
Our thanks to Bloomberg reporter Tim Jones. You can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder that you can follow these developing stories and more on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Your Bloomberg Small Business Report now brought to you by Vanek Vectors. Expect more from your munis. Target tax-exempt income by maturity and credit quality, all with low-cost ETFs. Visit vanek.com/muni. Vanek, access the possibilities. And here's John Tucker.
The Labor Department's newly announced overtime rule takes effect December 1st. Manta, the largest online community for small businesses, finds 51% of small business owners don't know whether their salaried employees are exempt from the overtime pay. Bloomberg's Jordan Yadu tells us some of the important basics.
It more than doubles that salary threshold under which workers must be paid overtime, from about $24,000 now to over $47,000. So it's a pretty big jump.
That means that employees earning an annual salary at the new threshold or lower will automatically be eligible for overtime wages, time and a half, just like hourly workers who are already qualified for this extra rate.
As for unintended consequences, researchers at George Mason University released a study that argues employers will respond by cutting base salaries. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thanks, John. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. The weather pattern known as El Nino could soon give way to its sister system, La Nina, which could lead to a whole new wave of weather havoc worldwide. El Nino is spurred on by a warming of the equatorial Pacific. This time around, it has dried up rice crops across Southeast Asia, sugarcane in Thailand, and cocoa fields in Ghana. It contributed to the planet's warmest year since at least the 1880s. Now the ocean surface is starting to cool, which may signal the start of La Nina. Scientists say this pattern typically contributes to more hurricanes in the Atlantic, heavy rain in India, and drought in Brazil. It might give a boost to U.S. natural gas production and hurt palm oil output in Malaysia. The patterns aren't simply opposite sides of the same coin. As one forecaster describes it, La Nina is more like a strong case of normal, so typically dry region could become arid, while if it's usually wet, there may be floods. The cycles occur every 2 or 3 years on average. U.S. forecasters have issued a La Nina watch for this year, perhaps as soon as July. And that is the Bloomberg Green Business Report.
Does that mean I can go to the beach on Saturday or not?
I have no idea.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. At 6:55 on Wall Street. Let's check other stories making news this morning from the Bloomberg. And Bob, Facebook is changing how it determines which news stories are trending after recent allegations of political bias in its selections. The company says it will no longer require stories to appear on sites considered news leaders, including the New York Times and BuzzFeed, as that requirement could lead to bias. Facebook also will stop using its curated RSS feed for news and a list of 1,000 sites it deemed trustworthy. This is according to a report that was issued on Monday. Facebook found no evidence of systematic bias in its investigation, it said.
And on the Bloomberg, look for the headline that includes Robo Yellen. Move over, Janet Yellen. Automation in the workplace is about to get personal. Instead of relying on the Federal Reserve chair, imagine using a computer to transform mountains of raw economic data into reliable predictions for unemployment, inflation, and gross domestic product. What's the best level for the federal funds rate? Just press enter. The capability is here, according to Andrew Lowe, director of the Laboratory for Financial Engineering at MIT. The biggest hurdle is the cultural barrier. You've got a lot of central bankers who are not as open to technology.
Okay. I thought there was a company already doing that. But Monsanto shares closing 13% below Bayer's all-cash offer on Monday amid concern that regulators may complicate the proposed $62 billion takeover that would create the world's largest seed and crop chemicals company. And Bob, the Bloomberg reporting the deal also drawing a pledge from U.S. senators to pay it close scrutiny amid accelerating consolidation in the industry.
And John, customers can find these stories and more on the Bloomberg Terminal. S&P E-mini futures this morning up 7 points now. That is a third of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 47. NASDAQ E-minis up by 15. For John Tucker, I'm Bob Moon. Stay with us on Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee. And we will have more, and Tom Keene, and we will have more coming right up on Bloomberg Surveillance. This is Bloomberg, the first word.